This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fay. How are you?
Well, the weather's been so nice and so wonderful, I'm getting excited.
You know what?
I think it's spring's here when it's not.
Oh, it is. It's knocking on the door. I think I saw, and I don't remember, but I think I got up this morning and I saw something on my phone that said that the time change is coming up soon, and I clicked it, and I think if I've got the right year, I think it's next weekend.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. We're going to start this all over again.
Here we go.
You know, I did not like the time change because, it's just too much.
Yeah.
And when it's in winter, before they change it, it's dark early.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But everybody loves it in the summer. Some people said they were going to get rid of it. And everybody else said they were going to make it permanent. So you never know.
Yeah, I don't know. I know a lot of people say, hey, it'll be great because, all this moving the time and all that, just it wears you out for like a week or two afterwards to try to get used to it. So, they're great. And then I see other people say, well, don't do that because, scientifically it'll mess up this and that and the other thing. And I'm like, oh, geez. So I don't know. Just decide, I guess. I don't know.
It does mess things up for a little bit, you know that.
Yeah.
We already have time zones. We got Mountain Time, we got Central Time, Eastern Time,
Oh, my goodness.
So this just adds to the fun just a little bit.
It keeps it interesting is what it does.
It is. And, the weather's just so darn good, I'm scared that either ice is coming or snow's coming.
Oh.
How could it be this nice in February? I just don't understand.
Now,
we have been having tornado warnings. We've been having storm warnings. And so far, it's missed us this week. It's missed us. It's went around.
Fingers crossed, knock on wood. But see, every time
That's
you say
I'm
something,
thinking.
It always happens. And so you start talking about snow and ice.
I know, it'll come get us. That storm will be here. We'll be weighted down with water again. The other day, the storm brought dirt from West Texas. That's all we got. The cars were just literally covered with dirt. Oh, my goodness. No water involved, just dirt.
I want to say I feel bad for you, but I don't.
I know. Life is tough, isn't it? Oh, my gosh.
That's like daily life for us.
That's right. Now, on the good side, let's talk about money and let's talk about policies. We've got a lot of policies in closing. A lot of them are 17 months, 16 months, 12 months, all kinds. We closed two policies this week. They've been sent over to Nevada Trust for closing, but we've got a bunch more coming, and they are really good policies. So everybody needs to get their email ready to say yes. And in fact, yesterday I just liked one deal filling it, and it was like $36,000.
Wow.
And I was going to send it to one of my good customers. I sent it to him and didn't hear from him right away. So I sent it to somebody else, and then he comes back and says, oh, yeah, put me in. Well, it was too late by then. It was fast moving.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of fast moving. So anyway, we've got that policy put away. But we've got several really good ones coming up, and the premium is almost nothing. Premium is really, really good. Less than 1%.
Wow.
Well, that's really good when you've got less than 1%.
Yeah, really. Goodness gracious. I know that's kind of like the new standard,
the
I guess.
The last pinkest policy should be in. I think it was supposed to be in the bank yesterday, that last $1 million on him.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. So now we're just waiting on McConnell, and Warner is a new one. And I don't remember any of the details on Warner. I just know it happened this week, and we're sending off for the death certificate.
Well, okay, so that one just matured.
That one just matured, and I don't know how big Warner is.
Gotcha. All right.
Well, boy. I wasn't familiar with it like I was all the others.
I mean,
but,
man.
All the Pincus is in now. That's $5 million right there.
Jeez. And so, it sounds like, you know, because I know the cycle is, you know, basically the way for it to, the whole thing to work properly and people to maximize their profit is to, when policies do mature, reinvest in other policies. And so you've got to have things available and things like that. And it sounds like things are just falling into place very, very nicely right now. Is that right?
Well, it's early. Because, yeah. You know, usually we have a slump every quarter, first of the year, every year we've had a slump. This year we have not had a slump. In fact, we've got more policies ready than ever before. The problem is getting the contracts. We've got them all out for contracts. We're just waiting for these people to get these contracts back to us. And we've got still got that contract out for Mr. Chang. You know, as he gets sicker, he thinks we're going to up the price. He doesn't know. It's a one-time deal. Either he signs it this time and agrees to what we, or he needs to just go find somebody else, because I think we've waited long enough on him.
Is he still playing games?
Yes, I kind of think he is, because, you know, he went away, went to Italy, did all this, borrowed on his policies, by the way, about $500,000. And, you know, he's got the $3 million and this one. He comes back and contacts us and says, I want to sell the million one. I'm going to keep the other one. But he hadn't signed it yet.
Still hadn't signed it.
So I told him this week is it. If we don't have it by Monday, he needs to just go play with somebody else.
Yeah.
And harass them, you know. Make
wow.
them believe he's going to sign it, you know, which he might not ever. Mr. Chang just seems to be confused.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know a couple months ago, I think, that you started talking about it, and you're like, man, we've got, you know.
That's right. It's been at least 2 to 3 months.
Yeah.
That Mr. Chang has just, you know, back and forth. He either wants to sell it or he doesn't, you know.
Yeah. It was a great deal. I mean, you were like, you know, he's going to go off. He's going to go to Italy. And then as soon as he gets back, we're going to do the deal. It's going to be great, great policy. We'll get it all done, you know, nice and neat and quickly. And then all of a sudden, it's just kind of like he's been playing these, I don't know what else to call it other than some kind of a game or some kind of a bidding war.
That's right.
Well,
I think he doesn't understand our ways. I'm kind of thinking this old boy doesn't understand. He thinks it's, one up everybody, and that's just not right.
Mm. Where's he located? Is he here in Texas, or is he like out of state?
Oh no, yeah, he's out of state.
Oh, okay.
And as I said, we don't know him personally. Well, we're dealing with the broker on this because the broker knows him real well, which we do not.
Hmm. How much do you think is him, and how much do you think is maybe the broker? Because I know sometimes brokers play games.
I imagine the broker's very deeply involved. We had one this last week. The guy had agreed on everything. Then the broker comes back and says, oh, that's just not enough money. And we found out it was the broker wanting more money. It wasn't the client.
Mm.
And sometimes that happens. These brokers want to make more money than the client, I think.
Yeah. You say sometimes don't brokers put deals in jeopardy of falling apart just
they
by
do,
playing
every
games?
Day.
Yeah.
Yes. There was a policy the other day that we were closing on, I think it was a small policy. It seemed like there was $135,000 plus $25,000. And I looked down, the broker made $25,000 on that little deal.
Really?
Yeah, and I was so shocked.
Wow.
I mean, it takes a lot to shock me in this business. But it did, because I thought, they're getting $25,000, you know. So the customer had to pay them.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot to be paying out of a small policy.
You know, So in life settlements, and I'm going somewhere with this. I have a whole thought process, but in life settlements, the brokers are only involved for like the seller
That's
of the
right.
policy.
They represent the seller, and the seller has to have an agreement with them on commission as to what they will give that broker for selling the policy to us. So the broker, he's got to negotiate that as he goes along. It may be $10,000, it might be $40,000. You don't know what their agreement is. I don't.
So
until it comes across my desk on closing as to how much they get.
Does the broker get a percentage, I would assume.
Yes.
Okay. Of what they sell it for, not what the policy is worth.
No.
Okay. So then that, I guess, would get a little bit, I don't know how to say tricky, but tricky maybe, I guess, for lack of a better term, for life settlements. But as far as, I don't know how to say this. It's kind of like a one-time thing. They're in, they're done, they're trying to get the best deal so that they get the best commission. You're trying to pay, you know, the least amount to get the greatest profit margin. So it's kind of a song and dance, a little negotiation, business-related. So I guess that's part of normal business. It seems, though, because I know sometimes we talk about brokers in the stock market, and they can do, like, literally anything, and they buy and sell policies just so that they can get commission, and it does not serve clients at all in that situation. So there is a bit of a difference between the two, right? Am I looking at it the right way, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it works. Everything, you know, everybody's on a commission. Everybody's trying to get the most money they can. And you know, I'm always talking about these REITs, and I was going to bring that up this morning. This Columbia Property Trust, and this is a REIT, and they had all these office buildings they were renting out, and, you know, they put all the clients in this. They've just defaulted on $1.7 billion of debt.
Really?
Yes. This is on 7 buildings, and all these people, you know, invested in it. And it's amazing to me. And then there's another one that's just defaulted. And this is not quite as big, but it's defaulted for $1 billion.
Wow.
There's three REITs that have just defaulted.
Man, these aren't just like small. These are big numbers for defaults.
No, these are big numbers. These are big REITs. And they all got out here and started doing office buildings. The others were doing, homes, rental homes. And these people had 8 buildings. And it says, you know, there's a lot of defaults, debt restriction on these buildings because they couldn't pay. Well, once they couldn't pay, you know, they were just caught. And it was a floating rate mortgage that they'd taken out on all these buildings.
Wow.
And, this is one of the biggest defaults in the office building in several years.
So I would imagine.
Can you imagine?
Anybody that's in that is probably, they're just out. There's no recovery, right?
I don't know how they'll ever recover $1 billion.
Yeah.
You know, they defaulted. If they can't pay the mortgage and it's $1 billion, how are they going to pay the people that invested in it?
Yeah, they probably will never get their money back. Wow.
So it has went into bankruptcy, and it's what a deal. I mean, it's just, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Jeez. So many, there are, you know, you look at all the things that are going on and so many bad opportunities, and people get into them. I think a lot of time, you know, when people are looking for something to invest in, they have good intentions. No, I don't think a lot of people are looking to, hey, let's invest in something that's going to be absolutely terrible. We can lose all our money and get like a really bad deal on this. I don't think anybody's doing that, but they kind of get caught up in the shiny objectness of it or the sexiness of it, or, you know, it's like, hey, you know, because remember in the 80s. Remember back in the 80s when there were all these movies that came out and they were all really, really popular, and it was all about, you know, money and driving the BMW, and, you know, all these high school kids were, you know, dressed, you know, to the nines, and, you know, so it was all about, you know, the sexiness of all these money things, and, you know, the movie Wall Street, and, you know, the business movies, and it had a whole thing of it. And I wonder if people maybe sometimes get stuck in that aspect of it, and don't always necessarily, you know, kind of go back to
I think they're
the
not paying attention.
Yeah.
The people out here in the real world are not paying attention. The broker puts it in them and they don't even look. They don't have any idea what they've invested in. And I'm always talking about it. Be careful of REITs. And the other one that's defaulted is Brookfield Asset Management. And they defaulted on $750 million in debt.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, there's three of them. You know, and they're in talks with the lenders. What are they going to do? They can't pay the mortgages.
Jeez.
So I don't know what will happen. But that's about $4 billion right there, over $4 billion, of REITs that are in default. And I'm always telling people, be careful of REITs because, you know, I think they're very speculative, whether it's mortgages on buildings or houses. You know, it's usually a 25-year deal.
Yeah.
And you can't get out once you get in. But now that they've defaulted, you may be put out, you know. I mean, they may just have to write it off, and that's terrible.
Wow.
To write off $3 billion. I hope it's worth something. I hope everybody gets something back. I hope nobody in Texas is in these REITs, is what I hope.
Yeah, I know how much you've always like been very cautious of REITs and never really been on board at all. And it's almost like now it's almost like this is the proof in the pudding, or the
well, if they had been short term, so you could get back out.
Yeah.
But these are always long term, 20-25 year stuff.
Wow.
And then you're stuck. You're at their mercy. Then if they default, you know, you're still at their mercy as to if you're getting your money back. It's going to be like that FTX deal, you know, with the Crypt Energy.
Mm.
You know, all those people are sadly upside down, where I don't think they'll ever get their money back.
Yeah.
And they say there's 1,000 or more investors.
Really?
And you divide up whatever's left and 1,000 people, it won't go very far, will it?
No, the math doesn't quite work out in anybody's favor. Wow.
That's right. So do something safe. Invest in a life insurance policy or something else that's that safe. You know, a life insurance policy is backed by the assets of these life insurance companies, and they've got $1 trillion, and they've been in business 100 years. Most of them have been in business forever. Maybe some of them have only been in business 50 years or 40 years. It's still a long time, and they've got a lot of money. And you don't hear them getting involved in all this. They're not doing REITs. They're doing life insurance. They're doing health insurance and property and casualty. Property and casualty doesn't have as much assets, and they sometimes they're not quite as reliable. But a life insurance company that just does life and health is healthy, very healthy companies. And they're big, and they've been in business, as I said. One of the ones that we do business with for annuities has been in business over 100 years.
Wow.
That's a long time. Can you imagine what they started out with? They started out with a buggy and a horse selling insurance. Do you realize that?
Literally. Wow.
Literally, they did. They Boy. Started out, and I can remember another thing. When I was growing up on the farm and the ranch, the mailman sold insurance.
Really?
When he came by to deliver the mail, he would sell you insurance.
Wow.
And, yes. And so we took out, you know, a rancher's policy. And it was like all the ranchers in Oklahoma, you know, were in this policy. So you got a very good rate. And who would have thought back then that a farmer or rancher would know to take out health insurance on their family?
Jeez.
It seems far-fetched to me now that they would know to do that.
You know, it, when you put it in horse and buggy terms, it really, you know, it sounds like a joke, but it's just like, no, literally, that's when these things started.
It was literally the truth, yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they figured out how to pay claims way back then. You know, I don't know how all that worked. But I know this group policy, farmers and ranchers, you know, they had millions of dollars because they had so many people in the group, you know, paying premiums. And they paid off like a slot machine, and you bought it from the dadgum mail carrier.
Jeez, I didn't know that. So,
yeah, so insurance has been around a long, long time. And then back in the 60s and I guess the 50s, they had a life insurance company that came around in all the cities and collected. And it might be a dollar a week. It might be 50 cents a week. But it was all collected every week from all these people. They never asked them to pay by the month. Apparently they couldn't. And they would come to your house and they'd give you a receipt for that week's dollar or $2, whatever it was. And they went around all over town and collected all that money.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And I don't think they do now, but I know even 10 years ago, I knew some people that worked for them and made the collections. And wow, you got paid for all those collections.
Mm. That's
it was really for poor people, you know, in cities that didn't have a lot of money, and they could pay every week out of what they had.
Wow. And they collected every week. And then all the policies that, you know, people pay in on that, you know, eventually they cancel or default on, or like we were doing insurance papers the other day, like health insurance, and part of all the, you know, the packages, you review the life packages and all this and that. And then, you know, you stop and think, it's just like, well, wait a minute, how many other, you know, situations have people been, you know, you change jobs and you sign up for your insurance, and then there's the voluntary life that you can sign up for. And then, you know, you go to another employer, and well, that whole policy that you paid on, as long as you were at that company, now that policy's gone. You go to a new employer, sign up for a new thing. All that you paid for that policy is that's just money sitting in the
profit for
yeah.
them. You don't understand. And if you're in a group that's got a lot of sick people, it doesn't pay off. But if you're in a group that nobody's sick, they made a profit
yeah.
every year that you were in that group.
Yeah.
And, you know, nowadays you've got United, which is one of the best for group health. And then you've got Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Texas. And there's a big difference in the way they operate. The premiums are different. Everything's different about them. And it's big business. So what I'm saying is, you know, if people are going to invest in something that's solid, you
yeah.
know, annuities, they're solid. Annuities for the average person that just wants income and safety, that's the best thing they can do with a life company. Because those annuities, at the end of the term, you can walk away, you can take a payout, and every time the interest is added to your policy, it's locked in. That interest can't back out. They owe you that interest, and you'll see it on your statement every year. So annuities are even better than anything in the world, because you can put your money in there, sit back, and just take that interest every year, take 10%, or take a payout. And so for a retiree, it's one of the safest and the best things you can do. There is, I don't think, anything better than annuities.
And you don't even have to do anything.
It's a life company that writes it.
Hmm.
So life insurance companies have got all the money, in my opinion.
And don't they have, what are the reserves?
They've got more money than anybody.
Yeah.
Well, the reserves are huge on life companies. They're required to put up reserves on everything they write. And banks aren't. Banks' reserves are small. They can loan out almost all the money that they take in. And life companies cannot do that. They have to put up reserves every time they write a policy. They write a life policy, they got to have reserves to cover it. And annuities, that's the same way. They have to have up a lot of reserves on annuities.
Hmm. So,
and life companies are just solid. That's all there is to it.
So for let me put it a different way, just to make sure I understand what you're saying. So a bank, if their loans are called, they've got to pay it, and they may or may not have it. They may have lent it out to somebody else. With the life insurance company, if a policy is called, they have to have the reserves no matter what to pay it, and they, it's not like it's
That's
in somebody
right.
else's
it just
policy.
It doesn't matter, and they have to have that either in cash or equivalent. They have to have some that's almost like cash every day sitting there. They can't say, I promise to pay. No, no. You've got to have the assets on hand at all times to pay your claims.
Mm.
And that's why they're so huge. They have to invest in things that are readily accessible all the time. Years ago, they wouldn't even let them own their own building.
Really?
They were not allowed to own a building, yes. And then eventually... they said the holding company can own your building, and you can have a holding company. But the life insurance company directly, way years ago, they didn't want them to even own a life building at all. They wanted everything to be in cash.
Wow.
And that's what they required.
I didn't know why
they're so stable, is because they're audited twice a year.
Are they really?
State and national. Yeah, they're audited twice a year.
Oh, geez. Wow, I didn't know that. So they're held pretty tight. There's no room.
It is tight.
Yeah.
There's no room for error. If you mess up, they can fine you a huge amount.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I go to that, you know, these stories that you tell, not of life insurance companies, but like, you know, like the employee who worked at the hospital for like 15 years, never showed up.
Never showed.
It's like there's a lot of wiggle room for things like that. But life insurance companies, none. There's like nothing. I mean, there's... You don't have an opportunity. There's no window for anything to go sideways with a life insurance company. It's just not there.
No, it's like a public trust. You know, they're going to audit you every year. They're going to, and they can call you to Austin. If it's a Texas company, they can call you to Austin for a hearing.
Ooh.
And say, we saw this. What do you do? Why'd you do it? We want an explanation. And then they'll fine you if it isn't right.
Wow, that's pretty serious. That's intense.
It is. And then you've got the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, and the commissioners get together and write the rules for these policies and for life insurance. And they say what a person can and cannot do. Like, I just got licensed in California. I have a client out there that wanted me to do some things. And I had to take the test. I had to take 8 hours of training. And when I was taking it, I realized every state is different on the rules. The rules are not national. Every state has rules that you must abide by.
Hmm. Is that good or bad?
The commissioners in each state. Well, each state has different ideas about things, you know?
I would almost think it would be easier if everything was just kind of like standardized nationwide.
Well, it can't be because people are different in every state, okay?
That's for sure. Take New Jersey, for example.
Take New Jersey. Oh, my gosh, let's take it.
I always like to throw out a New Jersey reference. I know how you love.
If we operated like New Jersey, we would never get anything done.
Yeah.
We'd be telling people no every day at the window. We'd be saying no, no, no.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
wow. And the other great thing with life insurance companies is that nothing changes. So, you know, there's never in the history of the universe ever has anybody ever bought a policy and then something happens and then the life insurance company says, you know, the economy's not so great, or we're not really sure what's going to happen overseas, so we're only going to pay about 75% of this policy. That doesn't...
No, not only that, I'll tell you a better story.
Oh.
And I know this personally. The premiums did not get paid on a policy. Something went wrong. 6 months later, you find out the premiums haven't been paid.
Ooh.
You go back to the life insurance company and said, the people didn't get their notices, didn't get it. They hem-haw around. They said, oh, we'll reinstate it. It's been 6 months.
Really?
Yes. That's the way they do business.
Wow.
I mean, who in the world would reinstate a policy after 6 months?
Yeah. Boy, I didn't think that story was going to go that way. Wow, that's cool.
Yes, they did. I know several stories where they've reinstated a policy even. I mean, they've got so many rules they have to abide by. I didn't know they would have to do that.
Wow.
But apparently they're very careful.
Hmm.
If you've got a policy with a life insurance company and you don't make the payments, you can go back to them. If you didn't get notice, if they didn't send you your notice, and they'll reinstate it.
Boy, there's just not a lot of monkey business with life insurance
companies.
They
don't have a lot of wiggle room, let's put it that way.
Wow. Man,
yes.
I know you've... Everything
has to be up and above board, and if they're getting correspondence from you, you better get it done right.
Dot your I's and
it's
cross your T's.
It's not like New Jersey. Yeah. They don't have to do anything right. All they have to do is just sit on their butts, you know. Oh, mercy.
Oh, wow. Have you ever been to New Jersey? Have you ever, like, physically
no,
gone?
No, I'm scared to go to New Jersey. You know, you don't know what it might happen if you're in New Jersey.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I would not take that risk.
Yeah. Now, that's a risk you don't take.
Would not go to New Jersey. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to do that.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord. Okay. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330, and our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I might need a minute to recover.
I know. I needed a couple of minutes there to recover.
Oh, wow. All right. Every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Our trivia today is exciting. It's something I love to talk about. The Houston Rodeo and Livestock Show
yes.
has started.
Yes.
It started the 28th. It goes to March 19th.
Cool.
It's so cool. This is one of the greatest things in Texas is the Houston Livestock Show. It is the biggest livestock show in the United States.
Mm.
Did you know that?
Mm.
It is the biggest. There will be over 2 million people during this time going there. You know, you've got the arts, you've got music, you've got the Ferris wheel, you know, the rodeo started in 1932.
Dude.
They've had it all except 2 years.
Wow.
So during the war, World War II, it didn't go on. And then during the pandemic, it didn't go on. Only two times. And when it started, it was downtown Houston in tents. Then they built a building there. They outgrew it. They went out to the Astrodome, if you remember. They were there for years. But it wasn't big enough. Just wasn't big enough. And everybody didn't realize what goes on. You've got all your horse shows. You've got all the judging of the horses. You know, you've got the donkey, the mule show, the mounted shooting, the paint horses. You've got the quarter horse show. You've got the ranch horses. Then you've got the competition of the best horses in the United States. They all bring them to Houston for the show. There's just so much going on. And, you know, usually every year the grand champion is bought by the biggest steakhouses. And, you know, the grand champion usually sells for $150,000, $200,000. I mean, it's a big, big deal. And then you've got your calf scramble. The little 4-H kids are going to compete in the lamb and the calf catching. And that's a fun deal. But, you know, you've got the rodeo every night. You've got the top rodeo performers in the world come to Houston for this.
Wow.
It's just amazing what all goes on. Then you've got the barbecue contest.
Mm.
There'll be over 300 people competing in the barbecue contest for, you know, the best barbecue in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So there's over 300 people going to participate in that. So that's a big, big deal. And there's just so much going on. Then, you know, you've got the best performers coming to town. and there'll be you can get tickets for everything. Doesn't matter what it is. Then you've got the trail rides. Now this is exciting to me. I've went on one trail ride. It was hard. It was tough. It was 3 days where they just pull you off the horse at the end of the day. You can't even get off the horse. You're so tired and so just out of sorts by then, you know, because you rode for 8 hours, folks.
Wow, 3 days?
It was tough.
Wow.
Yeah, 3 days of this, I did that. It's the only time I ever did it. But and I would probably not do that ever again in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Because you need to practice up for that, you know. But all these riders are coming, like Prairie View. They've been participating for 66 years, and they're going to start in Hempstead. That one, there's going to be 300 riders. It's going to be 78 miles.
Wow.
The Saltgrass, these people have been coming for 72 years, and they're going to start in Cat Springs. There's going to be 1,000 riders, and I just can't imagine. There'll be 22 wagons. And they're going to come 105 miles.
Wow. Good Lord.
Man, yeah. That's and
huge.
The Sam Houston one, Sam Houston would start in Montgomery, Texas. They're going to have 100 riders, 10 wagons. They're coming 70 miles.
Wow.
And then the Southwest one, they've been coming for 30 years. They're going to start out in Rosenberg. That's 120 miles. They've got 294 riders and 7 wagons.
Man.
This thing is so big. I mean, the people coming to Houston to participate is enormous. And then we've got the Southwestern Trail Riders. They've been coming for 48 years. They're going to start in West Columbia. It's 100 miles. They have 250 riders and 11 wagons.
Mm.
This thing is so big, and it starts with a parade. You know, it started with a parade in 1932. They've had a parade downtown Houston every year since 1932.
Wow.
And, yeah, all these people that participate, they love cowboying. They love the history of Texas. And, you know, riding these wagons 100 miles, can you imagine?
That's not comfortable.
I mean, it'd be so tough on you. You got to be a tough person to do all this, right?
Yeah, and you know what that's like.
I know all about it. I mean, I didn't do the wagon, but I did a horse.
That's...
And, oh, my gosh, a sore.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All I wanted to do was just lay down on the ground. I didn't want to do anything else. Just lay down and forget about it, you know?
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. But there's going to be so much good music. It's something you can do every hour. But Brooks and Dunn's will be there. Walker Hayes, the Zach Brown Band will be there. New Kids on the Block. Ashley McBride's going to be there. Just so much things. If you sign up for all this, you're going to be there a week, I can tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can pick out some things. Now, remember, you can ride the Metro. It's $2.50 a head.
Wow.
And you can park at the Metro, ride out there. That way you don't have to take your car if you don't want to. They have 1,000 parking spots, but it's going to get busy there. So you might want to take the Metro out there and then every day take it back, and you don't have any problem. You just get on it and ride, you know?
Yeah, you don't have to worry about all the hassle and all that. Very simple.
But I think the stock show, going to it, is going to be, that would be my number one choice, and the rodeo. The rodeo is going to be spectacular. These rodeo performers are coming from all over, including Canada.
Mm.
There's some top performers from Canada that participate.
This really is all about tradition. You know, you start listening to all the people that you were talking about that have been coming here for you know, 48 years and, you know, 70 years and 60 years. And this is like, wow, you know, you really kind of understand and appreciate the fact that, you know, this is not only a tradition for all of us that go and enjoy it, but, you know, the people that are on the performer side and, you know,
It's interesting every year. It's always different, but it's always enough the same that you know what to expect. And it just keeps getting better and bigger every year. It's really, really great.
It's the greatest thing we have in Texas. This is pure Texas.
Yeah.
This is what we are all about.
Yeah.
You know, horses, cattle, people, barbecue, I mean, music. This is Texas all the way. This is the biggest thing of the year, and anybody that doesn't participate in this is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you need to go and see what all you're missing. I mean, people are missing a great, great fun experience. The horses are so beautiful. The steers, the bulls, the grand champion, all these animals, these kids have spent all year and all their time and their money raising them, getting them beautiful, and getting them ready for the Fat Stock Show. So it's a big deal in Texas.
You know, I would almost dare to say that this is probably the Texas version of the unofficial start to spring. You think that's cool? Can we say that?
I think it's cool, yes.
Yeah.
Because it's the same time every year. It gets everybody out, gets them doing things and fun. You talk about good, clean fun. This is the most family-oriented thing in the whole state.
Yeah.
You know, it's family all the way. You know, from the kids participating to people participating in the barbecue, riding the Ferris wheel. The food is, you know, the big turkey legs are to die for. The hot Cheetos are to die for.
Jeez.
I mean, and now they have a wine tasting deal. They didn't used to have that. They've come up
really?
With that. They've got the wine deal now that they never used to have. But, you know, we've got so many wineries in Texas. This is why they finally came up with that. But there's not anything there that's ordinary. It's the best that we've got in Texas.
Yeah.
The best riders, the best cattle, everything.
Best food, best music, all of it. All of it combined. I would say this is probably as big, if not bigger. And the one thing we talk about all the time, the one thing we take pride in, is the state fair. I would say this is as big, if not bigger, than the fair itself.
It's as big as the state fair because it's going to have all these things like the barbecue deal. We don't usually have that at the state fair. So that 350 people participating in that, we wouldn't have. And a few other things, like the trail rides. I mean, these people are putting their heart in this thing,
yeah.
You know, riding this far and bringing the wagons and the horses and riding on that rough wagon. I'm sure the wagons have really been improved for these rides. I imagine they've got them soft and
I would
a lot
hope.
Of springs under there, you know. But now, if anybody wants a good experience, go to one of those trail rides. And ask them if you can ride with them,
yeah.
Or ride in a wagon. You know, it will change your perspective on the world.
It changed yours.
It changed mine. But if you don't ride every day, think about it. But if you're a good rider and you ride all the time, it would be a great experience for you. You would love it.
Yeah.
But people who do not ride all the time. I wouldn't really recommend it for them.
It's not a good starting point. You want to
it would not
to
be
it.
A good starting point. You might have to lay down for a while. It might be a little too much. But, you know, we've been having it all these years. The first performer at the rodeo when they started in 1932 was Gene Autry.
Wow, really?
Ooh. He started, yeah. And a singing cowboy, he started. And people said, this will never work with this guy coming into this singing cowboy. And it did work. But the naysayers were against it.
Wow. And that was back when it was in, like, tents and stuff like that, right?
That's right. That's when it was in the tents when it first started. And the guys that thought this up were brilliant. They wanted to do something for Houston. They wanted to do something to put it on the map. And this is what it took. And, you know, when it first started... These eight men started it, and they were on the committee and ran it until they just passed away. They were in charge of the Houston Rodeo and Live Shot.
Wow.
And they did a great job. I mean, they did a brilliant job.
Well, I can't believe that we're celebrating the 90th anniversary of this.
I mean, it's a long, long time.
Yeah.
And it's come a long way. I mean, all the different and the rodeo got kicked out of the National Rodeo Association several years ago, and they had to go it alone. And now they've invited them back. They're back in it now. So, you know, everything happens. And the horses are gorgeous. They're beautiful. Just watching the horses work the rodeo is worth everything.
Mm. Yeah, it is. I mean, just to the horses, the people, the performers, and not to mention the fact that, you know, you may get a chance to, you know, if people like don't see every day, people like, you know, in other parts of the state, meet up at the rodeo, and it's just like, you know, you it's almost like a family or a friends reunion in the heart of what we do, what we're all about. It's, I don't know, we've met with people
before. A lot of people go every year, you know.
Yeah,
that. There's some diehard Texans that say, I would not miss the rodeo. I would not miss the livestock show. Mm. And a lot of people go just for the livestock show. A lot of them go for everything. And me, everything. You know, I don't have time for everything, but I love the rodeo. You know, I like the stock show. All the horses, the animals, you know, you get to see it all. And it takes a couple of days to see it all, really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You can't really do this in one day.
Boy, I've been
imagining. Everybody should get reservations, get their tickets, and decide when to go and take the family.
Mm-hmm. They probably had no idea that it would evolve into this back in 1932. You know,
I think you're right. They thought it was going to be this little rodeo downtown. They were putting on a little show, and you know, got Gene Autry to come. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
One person, he realized he was the only performer that year, was Gene Autry.
Jeez.
That's how small it was.
Yeah.
You know, he came and performed, and they, it was in the, made the Houston Chronicle. About it, you know, it was really interesting, but it's come so far and so long, you know, it's just imaginable. But the world champion rodeo performers are going to be there. We'll find out who's going to win the top barbecue place out of 350 people.
Ooh. Boy, you know how I am about Texas barbecue. Mm-mm.
Well, we all are. Mm. So it's going to be amazing who wins.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine what team, you know, will win that. But you know that they're geared up for it. They're ready.
You know,
and
I love the fact that there's enough tradition for each year, you know, that you know what to expect. But then there's new things. You know, it still evolves in little ways. You know, like adding wine to the whole thing. And it's just like, you know, it's a really great thing. And I think we could probably safely say there's literally something for everybody, whether you're a kid.
There is something for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're 4 years old or 100. But, you know, this program... the stock show, you know, where it gives out all the awards and the money to the kids, it's raised over $14 million and awarded 21,000 students.
Jeez.
Over the years. Can you imagine?
Wow.
It's helped that many kids to go to college.
Wow, that's amazing. So that's cool.
It's really cool. And these kids work their heart out. You know, they brush them, they bathe them, you know, they make sure they're fat. You know, everything.
Yeah.
They do so much good. It really is amazing what all these kids do. And, you know, they get up early, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning to get them ready. They, you know, they work hard to do this. And then whoever is awarded grand champion and buys it, it really helps some kids.
Yeah.
Del Frisco's used to buy the grand champion a lot, but, you know, they fell on hard times. So I don't know who'll buy it this year.
I don't know. But, you know, it's like, what this goes through, is it the 18th? Or what did you, when does this go through?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Through the
19th.
Yeah, through the 19th.
Gotcha.
Yes, through the 19th. So people have got, you know, a lot of time to make reservations, to go and have a really great time Texas style.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how you put it. Texas style. Nice. Awesome.
Texas style.
It's worth maybe taking a little mini vacation if you can. You know, take a couple extra
days.
That's
right. If they could take, you know, like a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Or Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you know. Take 3 days if you can. If not, 2 days. But you can see it all. You just got to get there, get on the metro, go out there, spend your time, have a great time. It's something you'll never forget if you haven't been going every year. Now, a lot of people have been going every year, and I imagine if we interviewed them, they've been going for 30 or 40 years. The people on the trail drives have been going, some of them 48 years,
jeez,
some of them 30 years. These people are into it. You know, they love the horses. They love the trail rides, and they don't mind riding that many miles. You know, the 74 miles, the 100 miles, some of them are coming farther than that. But look how many teams are coming. That one group has got 1,000 horses coming. I can't even imagine getting 1,000 horses together and riding them down the road together, folks.
I can't imagine that.
I'm trying to picture it. Coming right down the road. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Lord.
Wow.
Well, we do everything
be
bigger.
Something.
That's for sure.
We do everything bigger and better in Texas. That's why people have got boots and hats and jeans.
Yeah.
They're Texans, and they show it.
Wow. This is great.
Yeah. Well,
probably the second greatest time of year in the state, if not the first.
It is the second greatest in the state of Texas. And you'll read about it in the Houston Chronicle every day. They'll have stories about it. I mean, it'll be on the news. It's great.
Yeah.
It's a great time to be a Texan.
No doubt. No doubt. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You know, and I'm sure probably a lot of people are really appreciative of the parking situation because, you know, something like that could be a nightmare. But they've got it, you know, nicely mapped out and taken care of. So you just they make it really easy and affordable, too. So.
They make it easy. They don't want you to get out there and get stranded. They don't want you to have to say, I can't find my car. There's 1,000 cars here.
Yeah.
Just take the metro, get you a nice motel room, and take the metro. And it's no problem. And you can eat till you drop out there.
As you should.
As you should. I mean, you know, and your feet are going to be tired. Be sure you don't have on heels. That would be a no-no at this deal.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The women, if they don't have their boots on, you better have some good tennis shoes, I can tell you.
Wow.
You're going to need them.
Yeah.
You want a comfortable clothes. You want to be sure you got your Levi's, your shirt on, and, you know, just comfortable. This is not a dress-up deal. This is
No.
your Levi and boot deal.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's going to take some time, a couple hours, a couple of days, it's not one of these things where you're just going to kind of blow through in 20 minutes. But I don't think anybody's going there to do that anyway. It's like you go and you want to be a part of this, and you want to be there for a while.
You want to be a part of it, and one of you may say, I want to go see the cattle. Somebody else may say, no, I want to go to the Midway and ride that huge Ferris wheel, or no, meet me at the rodeo.
Yeah. You
know?
Awesome.
There's just so much to see. Be sure you've got your camera. You're probably going to want some good pictures. And don't carry a lot of stuff with you.
No.
You know?
No.
Because you're going to be walking a lot, and you don't want to do that.
Stay loose and nimble.
Loose and nimble, it sounds good to me.
Wow. Okay, so before we wrap things up, let's talk about risks with not only life settlement, but also any risks that may or may not exist in an annuity. So let's start with life settlements. What are the two biggest risks?
The biggest risk is it could go over and you would have to pay premiums. So always acknowledge that there is premiums if it goes over, if it goes over the time limit. We've got it down where, you know, it's not a lot of them are going over. Several of them have gone over the year before and the year before that. We're trying to get that out of the way where there is not hardly any going over. And if it does, we've got these premiums down. all these new policies that we're fixing to do is less than 1%. So you can't get hurt on it. But it is a risk. You need to know it's a risk. It's the biggest risk involved is that you would have to pay premiums if it goes over. The second risk is it is not liquid until it matures, okay?
Okay. But so, considering people have to be accredited.
You cannot take cash out.
Yeah, they probably won't.
You must be accredited to do this. You either have to make $200,000 a year or you have to have $1 million without your home. You cannot count your home in this. And the minimum investment is $100,000.
Okay.
Now then, on annuities, there's really no risk in an annuity that I know of. Your premium is always guaranteed. Once your interest is put into the policy, it's locked in. That is locked in, so you don't have to worry about that. An annuity, you can take a fixed rate and say, okay, give me the fixed rate for the next 10 years. It's a walk away. You can cash it out at the end of 10. So that's a good thing about annuities. Let's say that the economy goes bad. If it didn't make any money, it didn't go down. The principal never goes down. So your principal's always there for you, and your interest, once it's credited, it can never be taken back. It's not like the stock market. So once it's credited, it's yours, and then they credit it again the next year and the next year. So once it's credited, it's locked in. It's also tax-deferred. Everything is tax-deferred till you take it out. There's no taxes while it's making money. And so that helps a lot because you're not paying taxes all this time until you take it out. So it accumulates faster.
Yeah. And it's, you know, like you say, it's always, it's important to protect the principal.
You've got to always protect your principal. You don't want to get down here and fixing to retire and somebody tells you, I'm sorry, your account lost all this money. You can't retire this year. And the way the stock market is going, that could happen to a lot of people.
Yeah,
you know, it's lost more in the last week than it has in a long time.
Jeez.
It lost a tremendous amount.
Good Lord.
And I had some people I checked on theirs, and they lost a lot.
And that seems to be the big catalyst for people. It's just, you know, we've just not only, I think people, as they look at their portfolio, it's like they may be realizing, you know, not only are we not making money, which is pretty much kind of a given for most people, the way things have been lately, but they may be getting to that place where it's like, you know, we've lost too much. And we've kind of hit that number of, you know, we got to do something else. And, you know, either way, whether it's life settlements or annuities might be, you know, the better way to go. Much more conservative than the stock market. So, all right. I assume you have availability to talk to people this coming week. Yes, business as usual.
That's right. We have a lot of people that are doing a lot of business with us. We're writing contracts. We're going to try to get everybody in a policy where their money isn't just sitting there. But we will be taking on some new clients this week. So it'll be a busy week.
Yeah, no doubt. People should always make an appointment because you're very busy. And so one last time, Faye, for people to call, make an appointment, ask some questions, get started. What is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.